Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Radico Khaitan Q3 FY 2025 earnings conference call hosted by Dolat Capital Market Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be no opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Himanshu Shah from Dolat Capital Market Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lizan. Good afternoon, everyone. At this moment, we would like to thank Radico Khaitan Management for providing Dolat Capital with the opportunity to host the Q3 FY 2025 earnings call. We have with us the senior leadership team from Radico Khaitan, represented by Mr. Abhishek Khaitan, MD and CEO, Mr. Amar Sinha, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Dilip Banthiya, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Sanjeev Banga, President, International Business. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Abhishek Khaitan, MD and CEO, for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on our Q3 FY 2025 results conference call. Building on the strong momentum from the first half, Radico Khaitan achieved industry-leading RMFL volume growth of 15.3% year-on-year in Q3 FY 2025. We anticipate this strong growth momentum to continue in the near term. The prestige and above category volume saw a 17.7% increase. Our luxury portfolio, including Rampur Indian Single Malt Whisky, Sangam World Malt, and Jaisalmer Indian Craft Gin, continues to deliver strong growth as we focus on increasing distribution both off-trade and on-trade. After the launch of Rampur Indian Single Malt Asava, Sangam World Malt, and Jaisalmer Gold Gin earlier this year, we continue to expand the rollout in more states. Asava is now available in 10 states, Sangam in 8 states, and Jaisalmer Gold in 6 states. We have seen luxury and semi-luxury brands cross net sales value of 100 crores in Q3 FY 2025 and 250 crores in the nine months FY 2025. Given the exceptional demand in the domestic as well as international market, we expect this to cross 500 crores net sales mark in FY 2026. Royal Ranthambore Whisky recorded a strong 55% growth during Q3. We recently launched our celebrity campaign with Bollywood star Saif Ali Khan, which resonated well with the brand ethos and connected with the consumers. Royal Ranthambore has seen unprecedented success in several markets, and the volume run rate is increasing month-on-month across geographies. We are very happy to report that in Q4 FY 2025, it will be introduced to the CSD channel, which is a very large market. We believe it will drive further growth. All other core brands continue to report strong momentum, such as Magic Moments Vodka, After Dark Blue Whisky, and 1965 Spirit of Victory Premium Rum. Magic Moments Vodka recorded 1.8 million cases during the quarter. We launched a limited edition celebration pack for Magic Moments Vodka, blending premium quality with festive vibrance. During the nine months of FY 2025, vodka industry has grown more than 15%, where we have a strong 60% market share. With our continued innovations, we remain confident of driving the industry growth. During quarter three, After Dark Whisky became the eighth brand to join the Millionaires Club. Launched in 2011, this brand story took an exciting turn in 2022 with the launch of After Dark Blue Whisky, designed to captivate the younger generation. In the first nine months of FY 2025, After Dark achieved 1.34 million cases sales volume, representing over 100% growth compared to 9 months FY24. It is positioned very strongly in the largest segment of the premium whiskey industry. Going forward, I remain optimistic about the growth prospects in the Indian alcoholic beverage sector. We are progressing well on our strategic roadmap and are confident in delivering results in line with our goals. Our new product development pipeline remains robust and we are committed to delivering superior performance across our portfolio. Our strategic priorities remain focused on brand building, sustained profitable growth and long-term value creation for our stakeholders. I would now like to hand over the call to our CFO for a detailed operational and financial review. Thank you and over to Dilip.
Thank you, Abhishek. Thank you everyone for joining us on this call today. During quarter 3 of FY25, we reported a total IMFL volume of 8.4 million cases, representing a growth of 15.3% on year-on-year basis. The prestige and above category volume grew by 18%. In value terms, the prestige and above category registered 24.7% growth. IMFL realization increased by 5.5% on year-on-year basis. Prestige and above category account for 51% of the IMFL volume compared to 50% in quarter 3 of last year. Regular category volume, which were impacted due to certain state-specific industry-related issues and ongoing strategic rationalization of portfolio, have now returned to the sharp growth trajectory. This was due to the lower base coupled with the normalization of state-specific industry issues. Change in the route to market in Andhra Pradesh contributed 800 basis points to our overall volume growth. As regards the P&A segment, the excluding Andhra Pradesh, the growth has been higher. The recent RTM change in Andhra Pradesh has progressed well, promoting stability, predictability in regulatory environment. As a result, we have seen strong growth traction for our brand portfolio and gained market share from 10% in the first half to over 15% in quarter three. We quickly adapted to the changing environment and created capacities to capitalize on industry opportunities. Gross margin during the quarter was 43% as compared to 41.8% in quarter three of FY24 and 43.6% in sequential quarter two. Gross margin impacted on year-on-year basis due to the ongoing premiumization in the IMFL business coupled with relatively stable raw material scenario. Gross margin declined by 60 basis points on quarter-on-quarter basis due to food grain inflation. While we are optimistic about the inflationary scenario for ENA and grain to improve going forward, we continue to cautiously monitor the trends. Employee benefit expenditure were higher sequentially due to the annual appraisal and some incentive payment during the quarter. Interest costs increased sequentially due to higher working capital utilization during the quarter, primarily led by cyclical building of the grain inventory and higher receivable in certain states. This is temporary phenomena and inventory will be liquidated by the year end. Going forward, our focus will be driving profitable growth along with cash flow generation and more efficient working capital management, resulting into debt reduction. With this, we now open the lines for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star in one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The first question is on the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My first question is on Andhra market. So you have done well and you have gained market share. Even the national player has gained market share. So if you could tell us, are the local players now largely out of the market? And second is, in the previous cycle, when the similar regime, similar government was there, then what was your market share? And as a percentage of Pan-India, when do you see full normalization, and what was what will be that number in terms of Andhra contribution to your sales?
So as far as the Andhra market is concerned, it's a 30 lakh cases market right now. It's a growing market. As the regulatory environment stabilizes and the policies become more stable, the market is continuing to show buoyancy. We have a 15 to 17% market share as Radico in that state. We are very buoyant about the future. Most of our brands that we have introduced are showing traction. The route to market changed in October, on 16th of October 2024. Since then, there is a balance between secondary and tertiary sales. So as far as Radico is concerned, the movement for all our brands introduced in Andhra is sound and showing good signs. As far as the local players are concerned, they still exist and they are largely operating in the lower price segments, which I think will continue for some time till the national brands gain attraction. This has also started to happen. Most national companies are now getting good volumes. And it will benefit organized players like us.
Sure. My second and last question is on the demand side. You also sounded positive, and Pan-Indian national side is also positive. So my question is, in terms of the marriage demand, how much is the benefit coming from there? And ex of Andhra, what will be your expectation of growth? Because Andhra clearly is helping. And would you see Q4 Andhra contribution being a bit lower? Because first quarter, generally, the inventory pileup is there, which helps in a larger number. So would you say that Q4, the contribution to sales from Andhra, that could be a bit lower and then it starts going up again?
No, I think, as I told you, that there is a balance between secondary and tertiary sales for all our brands. So as far as we are concerned, we see that the momentum will continue, and we will continue to perform equally well in quarter four and thereafter.
And in terms of the Pan-India demand, what is driving the optimism? Because almost every other form of consumption, they are clearly saying there is a slowdown in urban. I do understand some of the base is a bit favorable for the industry, may not be for you. But marriage demand clearly is there for the next two quarters also. So would you say marriage demand is what is helping in terms of optimism versus, say, other forms of, say, FMCG consumption or, say, any other discretionary consumption also, QSR? Everything is weak. In terms of apparel also, it is weak. So what is different for the liquor industry versus other forms of consumption in the urban currently?
So let me explain this to you. I think what's happening...
Oh, sorry to interrupt. Sir, your audio is breaking up. Sorry to interrupt. Hello, sir. Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Sir, your audio is not coming across clear.
So, let me say first that as you see in Q3, the growth has been across segments and categories. The regular segments have also recovered, and the premium and above segments have also shown great traction, strong double-digit growth. Radico, as far as it goes, we have seen traction across our brands, and that's why you see this number of PNA growing by 17% in volume. And as far as overall volume is concerned, it stretches across premium and regular brands, and that's how you get 15%. This phenomena is visibly clearly in the liquor industry, and it is not purely because of weddings and festivities. The industry itself is buoyant, and that's why we see that we feel that the next quarter and thereafter demand will be encouraging. One more point that we want to stress here is that, you know, 3 years back, the entire market segments for brands above regular segment was only 25% of the IMFL industry. Today it has reached a whopping 42%, which means that the brands in the premium segment are gaining traction, and Radico is driving this growth as well as part of an industry player. That's why you see good traction for all the brands that we have launched. We today have market leadership positions in gin, rum, brandy and vodka, and now we are growing steadily in the whiskey segments as well. All brands that we have launched in the past 2 years have done exceedingly well and are selling pretty well in all the markets across geographies.
Sure. Thanks, sir. I'm done, sir. Thanks a lot. All the best.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Harit Kapoor from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. So I just had two questions. You know, one was on, you know, you mentioned that you expect your luxury and semi-luxury portfolio to cross 500 crores. If you could just give us a sense of, you know, what will drive growth next year? Do you think it's more, you know, getting into markets where you weren't present, or it's just, you know, strong market share gain or just throughput growth that, you know, that you're seeing? And within this, you know, if you could just give a, you know, even a qualitative flavor of, you know, what's growing faster and et cetera. I know the portfolio, but if you could just give a sense of, you know, what's growing faster, you know, what's driving this growth. So just a little bit more, you know, comments on this portfolio, which will be 500 crore business for you next year.
Okay, first, let me explain. As Mr. Abhishek Khaitan also mentioned in his opening remarks, that our luxury and semi-luxury sales was approximately 100 crores and showed a growth in value terms of 45%. As far as volume is concerned, we have shown equally strong volume by growing at 54%. As far as ratio of sales of luxury and semi-luxury brands are concerned, we have grown to a level of 12% in Q3 as against 9% in the previous year. Now, having said that, I must tell you that all the brands that we have launched today have shown great attraction and acceptance at the consumer level, and Radico has always pioneered the price positioning of all brands in different categories and segments. Our prices are well accepted, and people feel by virtue of a higher price position that we are not only offering stature, but we are also giving them equal quality commensurate to the price that we offer. Now, today these brands, despite the attraction and sales growth, we feel are still at a nascent stage, and there is a long way to go in terms of creating market shares. And the other reason, we feel that the coming years will show a much better result. Not only that, it will also expand across geography. See, Radico has a national presence. We are one of the strongest distribution companies in the country today. We are the largest player in the IMFL segment from India. And we are in the process of expanding our distribution of luxury and semi-luxury products, and that will also give us expansion in volumes and profitability both.
Got it. Very, very clear. So just on this, you know, what, how large would it, I mean, would this be, would a significant portion of this, say, 500 crore next year or whatever the, of the 250 crore for the 9 months be export or maybe it could be, you know, what would that ratio look like?
So today exports is about, in volume terms, export is only about, the export are in the volume terms approximately 5.5%. In the domestic market, the luxury and semi-luxury growth rate is much better than export. And it will continue to be so at least for the next 3 years, because the market is huge. It is growing very fast, so we need to exploit that situation. Like also, if you see the single malt industry in the domestic market has overtaken the international malts also. So I think with the investment of what we have done in our malt capacity about 4-5 years back, in the next 3 years, we expect the malt, because right now the demand is more than what we can supply. So next 3 years, we feel even our malt availability should double in the next 3 years. So that will fuel the growth. Royal Ranthambore, as I said, has entered into the armed forces, the CSP, which is one of the largest markets. So I think overall, the entire space is quite buoyant.
Got it. So very clear. The second part was on the cost side. So, you know, you've seen, you know, on one side, you know, you have the possibility of some increase likely in ethanol at some point in terms of government pricing. But on the other side, you also have the grain prices, which seem to now be coming into a more favorable trajectory over the next, you know, 1 or 2 quarters and going forward. So if you could just help us understand how do we see this kind of confluence of factors playing out in ENA pricing over the next, say, 3, 6, 9 months, if one had to hazard a guess. Yeah, that's my question. Thanks.
Actually, you see, our industry, like the kind of headwinds we have faced is the grain prices from 17,000 touched about 28,000. The primary reason was the ethanol supply and the stoppage of the FCIRs, which happened about 1.5 years back. And only now the government, for the first time, which we were expecting long back, because this huge pile of about 65 tons of grain rice lying in the FCIR down, so they have just announced where ethanol can be produced from FCIR. So that is at 2250. So I think it all depends on the government policy, but if it continues, surely there will be easing of the wrong reason.
Got it. So that's all from me. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dheeraj Mistry from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for the good set of numbers. So my question is first on demand, where one of the companies said that there is a slowdown in the premium and luxury end of the segment, whereas you have been saying that your growth has been very much far superior. What gives you confidence that this kind of mid-teens kind of a volume growth can be continued in P&A segment? And also the regular segment after, let's say, 12 to 13 quarters afterward, we are seeing positive volume growth in regular segment. And what can we expect in terms of volume growth in regular segment going ahead?
So let me answer the regular segment first. See, it's true that it is quite some time later that the market has started responding as far as the regular segment is concerned. There are a couple of reasons for it. But we have in our earlier conferences also stated that we have normally rationalized our regular volumes because of escalation in costs, raw material pressures, and contribution loss. So wherever we thought it was economical profitable, we used to sell regular, and where it was not, we used to rationalize our volumes. Having said that, as far as the current growth rate in the regular segment that we have seen of 13.4% and a value growth of 15%, that's primarily because of two reasons. One, Andhra has offered an opportunity to sell brands below the P&A segment at a lucrative price, and the contributions are healthy. That's what we are doing. And going forward, we also feel this trend could continue because Kerala, which is a huge market of more than 20 lakh cases a month, has given a 6-7% price increase, and therefore we see that this will also benefit the industry, including Radico, in the months ahead. So we are optimistic about the regular segment recovery in the months ahead.
Yeah, so just on regular segment,
the growth will also be contained in the mid-single digit rate.
Okay, but if I want to strip out Andhra Pradesh from the regular segment, what would have been growth excluding Andhra Pradesh then in this quarter?
As I said in my opening remark, ex-Andhra, our overall growth is 7.5% as a percentage, and in the PLA category, it is almost higher or better than the national average. So the point is, that excluding Andhra, as Amar said, that there are certain improvements in the state regulatory environment. The defense has given the price increases last year, which brought us back the volume. The export also, there is some improvement in the volumes of the regular segment. And Andhra is one of that also. So I think that, as you said, that mid-single digit rationalization among that for next year, we can very well achieve that.
Got it. And sir, your comments on PNA segment volume growth.
Okay. As far as PNA segment is concerned, I mentioned a while back that see, brands above the regular segment today are 129 million cases approximately out of the 304 million cases which has been marketed in Q3, which is roughly 42%. Now, this is a huge market and growing at double digit rates across categories and segments. So, as far as we don't want to comment on what others feel about the slowdown or the hard space, but as far as Radico is concerned, all our brands are buoyant. They are responding very well. We have great plans, marketing plans ahead, and our growth momentum of giving a PNA growth of 15% plus in the times ahead will continue.
Got it, got it. And sir, second question is related to our debt, where after our capex, we have not seen any decline or let's say reduction in debt. Part of this is also attributed to Telangana government not paying the dues. Where are we standing in terms of due from Telangana government, and when we can expect, or let's say by what year we can become a debt-free company?
So we have certain, as you said, that a couple of months issue, which we get sorted out soon. The interaction with industry is on. Secondly, we build a certain grain inventory in the season that will also be partially liquidated by the year end, and from 2-4 onwards you will see a declining trend in our debt scenario, and as we guided by 26-27 middle or so, our debt will be negligible. Those kind of cash flow will be coming from internal approval. We are very confident of achieving the debt-free kind of situation by 26-27.
I want to add one very important point, that unlike other players, Radico's old dues in Telangana are not as high. And subsequently now Radico is being paid with other companies in 45 days per the policy. So that's not so much of a deterrent, but yes, the dues, whatever are overdue, will get cleared in Q4.
Got it, got it. And sir, lastly on margin front, you clearly highlighted that luxury segment has been growing very fast. So sir, can you comment a bit on in terms of profitability of luxury segment versus other P&A segment versus regular segment for us?
So here we talk about our margin, and actually in the last four, because we've been writing about that will improve on our margin by 100-150 basis points year-on-year. This year, over the last year, we have improved it by 140 basis points in 9 months, and we'll continue to do that. With the kind of product profiling and portfolio and delivery growing much faster, we expect our margin to grow 100 to 125 basis points every year for next year, thereby going on 13% kind of margin in next year. So we expect with this business model that should be achievable.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Kumar from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes,
sir. Please. So my question is from
Speak loudly, please.
Yeah. Hello.
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 Sir, can you speak a bit louder?
Yeah, is my voice audible?
Sir, can you speak a bit louder?
Hello, is my voice audible now?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yes, okay.
So, sir, how much margin do you make in per ml pack? So, for example, from 90 ml pack to 750 ml pack, how much margin do you make in EBITDA wise, in terms of EBITDA wise?
Again, can you repeat your question?
How much margins do you make from 90 ml pack to 750 ml pack? The margin similar in terms of EBITDA wise.
So the question actually, it is the margins are one of the price points. And basically, whether it is 90 ml or 180 ml or 750 ml, depending on the price point of that segment, the margins will be cross efficiency in here.
Yeah, so each segment has different margins, right? So can you give us the margins on the blended wise? How much blended margin do you make in 90 ml pack or 180 ml pack or 750 ml pack?
As I said, Rohit, it is actually not 90, 180 ml. We say these are SKUs. When we launch any product or we market any product, we price segment. Here we are offering this only segment 180, 750, 675. There is a composite basket of margin we see on the contribution level. So we can't distinguish between 90 ml margin versus 750 ml margin.
Oh, okay. Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. That's how much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pankaj Kumar from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Most of the questions are answered. I just wanted to have one clarification that XAP and the P&A category, what will the growth in this quarter?
In P&A category?
X Andhra Pradesh.
See, our P&A category has grown by 17.7% of the in this quarter. And the AP volumes contribute about 700 basis points. And as far as P&A category goes, excluding Andhra also, our growth has been higher than 17.7%.
Okay.
Because our growth is all broad-based across geographies.
Mm-hmm. And sir, you have guided for 500 crore sales from semi-luxury and luxury segment. So what kind of margins that this category can generate in your sense you can get?
We do not quantify what margins is in the segments, but definitely in the luxury and semi-luxury segment that is all the board and above, the margins is much, much higher than the P&A category.
So other way to just know, like you are saying, I get to 125 bits, the margin improvement that you are looking at every year. So what portion would be driven by your mix changes and versus your raw material advantage?
See, raw material advantage, the grain prices had gone up in October-December quarter. I think it was the highest. So raw material we had a disadvantage. So this all margin is contributed because of the product mix and the premiumization.
And sir, in terms of capex, what kind of capex that you are looking this year and the next year?
Capex, we have done with all our major capexes, and our capex run rate will be 100 to 125 crores every year for next 2 to 3 years.
This is after our both large projects are over. Some payment of the large projects are being made in this year, but the new CapEx is running to be this.
Oh, okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Rohan Patel from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Thanks for this opportunity. I have a question regarding our country recurring business and non-IMFL business. Seeing your financials for FY 2024, we did somewhere around 1,300 crore in non-IMFL segment, and roughly 50% of that comes from country recurring. But when we look at our margins in non-IMFL segment, they are near to mid-single digit. And when we see some of our peers in country recurring in UP market, they are fairly doing a healthy double-digit margin of 14% to 17%. So can you explain the difference in this? Like, why are margins so low? And in 2023, we were negative EBITDA.
So the question is that our country recurring business is only in one state. It is in Uttar Pradesh. Rest of the players might be doing in two, three more states. So we are talking about only UP, where the margins in the country recurring are in the mid-single digits. And as you say, the rest of the non-IMFL business is the alcohol sales, where also the margin has been squeezed because of the high inflation in grain prices. There also, the margin has squeezed to mid-single digit kind of numbers. So seeing what we see that FCI open up and all that, it's all question of how the market behaves and declining trend, basically, then we can see some improvement in that segment also.
Okay. All right. Seeing your close competitor who operates country liquor in one state and that too in, say, UP, who is having a market share of, say, 25% to 27% and does 200 million liter in country liquor in UP, so they have fairly healthy EBITDA compared to us, mostly twice than us. So is it due to geographies that you cater to in within a state district-wise? Or the.
I think we're talking about Uttar Pradesh and somebody doing it in Uttar Pradesh. We have a mix of the grain-based country liquor as well as the molasses-based country liquor. I'm going to give you the mid-single digit margin mix of the both country liquor being sold.
So if you can.
So let me explain this to you. There are two large players in UP, including us. The margins.
Yes.
For country liquor remain more or less the same. There is no difference because the SKUs that both the companies sell are the same. The strength that the other player sells is also the same. So the margins cannot be, I think, the EBITDA margins cannot be different unless you include some other businesses.
Okay. And what we have seen is that this is towards the IMFL business and in P&A segment. What we have observed is that a lot of competition is coming in, a lot of brands are coming in. But we have seen that millionaire portfolio of companies that are doing over 1 million cases have been coming from well-established legacy brands like Radico, USL, or Elite. So what advantage does a company like Radico has over a new entrant or a new brands that are coming up, celebrity brands which are coming up lately?
Actually, the industry surrounding, there is a company blackout of the brand being positioned or being shown and this and that. So definitely, an incumbent has a better listing chances.
No,
Amar will speak about.
Let me explain this a bit. National players like Radico have the benefit of distribution and marketing strength. And with the scale of operation, there is a definite advantage for new brands produced by national companies as against smaller players. It's very difficult for new entrants to sustain today because the cost of entry and the cost of sustenance is very, very high.
Okay, that fairly answers my question. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star in one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Yeah, so moving forward, we will continue to deliver a strong, especially in about volume growth, driven by our diverse brand portfolio. Secondly, we will further develop our luxury brand portfolio. We'll see a major contributor to our profitability. Furthermore, we are focused on ensuring that our investment operates efficiently as possible. This will enable us to generate cash, repay debt, and return cash to the shareholders. We look forward to interacting with you in all our next earnings call. In the meanwhile, if you have any queries or follow-up, please feel free to write to us. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Dolat Capital Markets Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.